Hello and salam, and welcome to Peace Mindedly podcast and people who are watching and listening to us. Today I have Zahra Hankir, author of Eyeliner, a Cultural History. I am super excited for our conversation. Zahra Hankir is a Lebanese-British journalist, and her work has appeared in publications including Time Magazine, Condé Nast Traveler, BBC News, Al Jazeera English, and much more. Her first book, actually, this is her second appearance on Peace Mindedly podcast. Her first book is Our Women on the Ground, was the bestseller and won the Susan Koppelman Award for Best Anthology in Feminist Theories. And I am super excited to have Zahra in our program. Welcome, Zahra.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm so happy to be back to speak with you again.
Yes, yes, that's absolutely marvelous. Okay, so I think I really would like to go with the non-traditional kind of back and forth question and conversation. As I was reading the book, I was super excited and fascinated by the amount of information you are giving out in this book. And I really wanted to see, how did you organize the information and in what way you decided these are the ways that I'm going to put this information here and that information here? And tell me about the way you organized your book.
Yeah, it's such a good question. It's a very travel-oriented book, right? So I traveled to 6 different locations for this book. It's 10 chapters. Each chapter is quite distinct in terms of sort of the areas of coverage. So the first section really focuses on the origins of eyeliner. So you start with ancient Egypt, and therefore I wanted to remain in the Africa region. So the second chapter then takes you to Chad, where you learn about the Wahhabi, and I'm sure we're going to talk about them. And then I wanted to keep on sort of transitioning sort of regionally, right? So I then went into the sort of Middle East and then Arab world. So then we have Iran and Jordan, and then we have a section on Asia where we have Japan and India. And then towards the end, we get a little bit more focus on the West. We do have a chapter on the Mexican-American Chola community in California. So there's a little bit of sort of Latin America in there, but we're getting closer to the West. Then we have Amy Winehouse and drag queens, and then we have influencers. So I was really thinking regionally and also historically with the way that I was arranging the book chapters. And also for me, psychologically, it was very helpful to arrange the chapters in that way, because I was traveling really sort of not just physically, but also like in my head, right? So I was spending like 2 to 3 months with each chapter, each location, and each character. So that was very helpful for me.
So why you love Amy Wiseman so much?
Yeah, I mean, Amy Winehouse is such an important figure, I think, when it comes to the iconic looks of eyeliner. So for me, she's actually on par with Nefertiti. I can't think of many figures who have such a distinct eyeliner look, because her wing was very sort of, it kind of had a life of its own. It traveled all the way to the edges of her eyebrows. Sometimes it kind of went up to her temple. But it's beyond the aesthetic. It wasn't just about what she looked like. It was about how her eyeliner played a significant role in her transformation as a celebrity, as somebody who we became very familiar with, but who was also hounded by the press in a very negative way for the way that she was living her life. And as we know, she died very young. She was only 27. And the way that the press criticized her had to do a lot with her aesthetic, and her eyeliner came into it. So, you know, people would say it was asymmetrical, it was smudged, it was smeared. And what I write in the book is that the absence of her eyeliner actually said a lot more than the presence of it as well. So she was a fascinating character to study. And it kind of flicks at this idea that there's much more to eyeliner than meets the eye. There's a lot more going on there.
How come? Why you became interested in eyeliners and this kind of makeup?
I think it's a very fair question, especially because my first book was quite serious. As you know, the themes contained in the first book were about Arab women, Middle Eastern women journalists covering the Arab world or the Middle East. And it had to deal with, you know, themes of warfare and conflict and socioeconomic upheaval. So it does sound like the two books are not connected. But in a way, actually, to my mind, they really are, because what I try to do in my work is I try to decenter Western narratives and to really uplift and celebrate the contributions of communities of color. So the first book was those contributions to the journalism industry, and the second one is about the contributions to the beauty industry. And my fascination, my personal fascination with eyeliner started with observing my mother apply eyeliner when she was living in the West. When we were living in the UK during the Lebanese Civil War, she had a lot to deal with. I mean, she was missing her family. She was concerned about her family, but she also had six kids. She also had to raise us. My dad was, you know, away, very, very busy with work most of the time. But every morning she would have this like moment of silence, of self-care, where she would apply her eyeliner. It is known as Kohl in my region, and as you know, Surmay in Iran. And for her, I noticed and I realized even as a young girl that it was much more than about beauty. It was about her heritage. It connected her to something back home, right? Mm-hmm. In the same way that music might connect her or food might connect her. It was an object, a tangible object that made her look a certain way and it made her feel a certain way. So that was my initial sort of interest and obsession and love with eyeliner. It really came through my mother, and then it developed over the years.
Yes, you do. You do explain at the beginning of the book. I encourage listeners to read the beginning and the whole book because it's a very fascinating story. What is the characteristic of a good eyeliner, in your opinion?
Great question. You know, eyeliner is so personal. It really depends on the person, like the message the person is trying to convey. It can depend on the shape of the eye. It can depend on, you know, what culture community you belong to. The role that eyeliner plays physically is to enhance the eye. So it is to make the eye look a particular shape, depending on whichever shape you're going for, or perhaps you want to make the eye look bigger. Sometimes you might want to make it look smaller. Again, beauty standards vary from culture to culture. So I think any application of eyeliner that makes the person feel something is a sort of successful application of eyeliner, because for me, it's not purely about the aesthetic. And even if it was, it would be very personal to the person, right? So when it comes to feeling something, it's about sort of delivering a message to the world. It's conveying something to the world. And it's also about connecting you to something. So to me, it connects me to my Arab heritage, my Egyptian, Lebanese heritage. But also I'm telling the world, the aesthetic I want to convey is a celebration of my heritage, right? So that's one example of the use of eyeliner that makes you feel a particular way. And that to me is beautiful, right? It's very profound. It tells you that there is more to the pigment you're putting on the eye than just the pigment. It's about something far deeper.
Yes. So I tell you a story. My grandma used to make her own surmay. Mm-hmm. So she had this everything about surmay or eyeliner was so beautiful, very small container. And then she put like half a almond and then add coal and then add something like make it sticky, maybe Vaseline or something like that, and made and powder and everything, and made her own eyeliner, a surmay, and put it in a very small leather kind of container. And she always put it inside her eyes and not outside. And she kept telling me that this is more for medicinal effect of surmay rather than anything else. And you're talking about the medicinal effect. So do you know what is the medicinal effect of eyeliner on eyes?
Yeah, well, first I want to comment just a little bit on how beautiful that anecdote is of your grandmother. I often say that the story of eyeliner is also a story about mothers and daughters and grandmothers and granddaughters and all these beautiful cultural traditions, right, that can be quite ritualistic. And the pouches themselves are oftentimes beautiful, the containers and the applicators. So thank you for bringing that up. Eyeliner originated in ancient Egypt, where it was known as kohl or kohl, and it was made from natural materials, and those natural materials were malachite and galena. And these were sort of minerals, right? And It could be made from those materials, but it could also be made from natural materials sourced elsewhere. It could be plants or a tree sap or anything that could be burned and could create a powder could be used as pigment for the eyes, because then you would use sort of the ash as the pigment. And as you said, like your grandmother did, you would also need a liquid to help make that powder into kind of a paste, right? So it would be maybe saliva, rose water, any number of materials. So that context is important because we don't know actually what the medicinal properties are unless we know what the ingredients are. So we have to know what the ingredients are, and the ingredients vary widely over the centuries from culture to culture. But we do know that there have been scientific studies that show that some formulations of coal can provoke an immune response in the eye, and that can then treat a bacterial infection, for example. And I'm very careful when I discuss this because the immune response can be triggered from very small concentrations of lead, which was actually used in ancient Egypt. But lead is very toxic, as we know. So it's very dangerous to use lead anywhere near the eye. So therefore, modern formulations of coal that may contain lead tend to contain very high levels of lead that are extremely toxic to the eye. So it's interesting because in the US, the idea of coal is completely sort of banned. The FDA bans it because of this idea that coal contains lead. But that's not always the case. It really depends on the formulation. It depends on the materials used. But of course, lead is toxic to the eye. What I will say is that there have been scientific studies that show that the tiny concentration of lead that was used in ancient Egypt did provoke an immune response. So that's not to say that people should use that today, because coal containing lead, especially in the global south, is a huge cause for concern, especially when used on babies. It is actually a serious cause for concern. So thanks for asking that question. It has a nuanced answer.
Yes, for sure. So I think it's the second chapter, or I don't know, second or third, that you're talking about Wadobi. I mean, what is the name of the tribe?
Wadobi.
That men actually taking care of the aesthetic and using eyeliner and makeup in such a profound way. Tell me more.
Yeah, I traveled to Chad for that chapter. The Wadabi is an ethnic group, a nomadic group that is a subset of the Fulani group. And for them, beauty is a part of their moral code. It is very important to them. But the onus in this annual beauty contest that they hold is on the man to look attractive, not on the woman. Therefore, the men will wake up at the break of dawn. So this beauty contest happens every year in different locations. And usually it attracts two clans. So two clans will be competing, and it attracts members of surrounding areas to witness it. But it is the women who are judging the men for their beauty. And the men, as I said, wake up at the break of dawn to beautify themselves. And part of the idea or concept of beauty there is the idea of contrasts. So the whiteness of the eye against the darkness of the framing of the eye. So that would be the coal. And then the whiteness of the teeth against the darkness of the lips. They often blacken the lips. So the men spend hours really trying to maintain this very beautiful appearance that they have during this beauty contest. And in the beauty contest, they dance. They have a very sophisticated dance. They dance like the bird, the heron. They move like the bird, the heron. They move their eyes around, they chatter their teeth. It's a very, very fascinating experience to observe. But the coal is so important to the men that they wear it on necklaces in pots as a talisman or next to a talisman. So you see there that it's not just about how it makes them look. It's a lot deeper than that. And it also plays that role, the medicinal role, and it also guards against the glare of the sun. So it has multiple purposes there. Mm-hmm.
I love when you said women judged men according to whatever was happening.
So, very refreshing.
Yeah, you're very refreshing. At the beginning of every chapter, you have a graphic related to the chapter. So who did those graphics?
Yeah, her name is Mercedes de Ballard. I wanted this to be a very visual book because eyeliner is very visual. I mean, what is eyeliner if it isn't about the people who wear it? I wanted to be a character-driven book, so I wanted to make sure that I had very vivid imagery to accompany, you know, the personas of the characters. So I did a lot of research until I found an artist who I felt really could capture the, not just sort of the physicality of the person, but something a step further than that. And she really does that, I think. I really feel like you get a lot out of each image. So there's even an image of me, and that was because my mother forced me to ask her.
That was, yeah, I loved your picture. Yeah, I loved
that was,
all
that
the
was
pictures.
My mom's fault.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate your mom's effort. Yeah. If you were to write this book in only 3,000 words, which one of the concepts you would choose that it's, you know, really monumental?
That eyeliner is not just about beauty. To communities of color, especially in the global south, eyeliner is about spirituality, identity, heritage, ancestry, religiosity. It's about far more than just the lines around the eyes. And I think that that's the message that I would deliver in those 3,000 words.
3,000.
Yeah, that would be impossible, but you know, thanks for that.
I know it's impossible.
Because this book is about 90,000 words.
Yes, I understand. So I really think and believe that when we use eyeliner, we are framing in a way, although it has all of those backgrounds about, I mean, related to religion, social, sometimes political, and many of those, but we are framing eye in a way that the eye, you get a better visual of the eye, or eye stands out in a way in the whole in the feature. And there is a old saying in Farsi is that the eye is the king of the body. So I was thinking, have you ever thought about that, that women try to frame it, or men to make the eye pop out from this feature?
It is absolutely correct aesthetically. That is right for you to say, beyond sort of changing the shape or making it look bigger or smaller, however you want to make it look, giving a particular look that's grungy, sexy, sultry. Beyond that, the purpose of eyeliner is also to enhance the eye. So the idea of enhancement is so that from a distance, your eyes are going to look a lot more vivid from afar. And this is a reason why many performance artists actually use eyeliner, such as, you know, dancers, people in the theater, actors, drag queens. It's because when you have the eyeliner on, particularly in specific types of lighting like candlelight or overhead lighting, it really makes the eyes stand out from afar. And an interesting little fact here as well is that when cinema started to take off, the idea of the silver screen, because it was still in black and white, you really needed eyeliner to help the eyes pop. So you would see sort of the early actors in, you know, Hollywood or Bollywood or, you know, different forms of cinema all around the world, they would be wearing heavy eyeliner because that would ensure that the eyes would be popping. So that's also really interesting.
Absolutely. Since talking about framing and also graphic and aesthetic of the eyeliner, I really want to see, as soon as I saw the cover of the book, I thought, oh my God, this is, I cannot come up with a better visual than this artist. And I know that the cover won an award. So tell me, how did you and the artist come up with the cover?
Yeah, so the artist's name is Lynn Buckley. She's not the same as the illustrator.
Yeah.
And cover design is so interesting because, you know, what I did is I shared the theme of the book. I said the theme of the book is, I want to center women of color and all of the communities of color, you know, who's swirling around this one object, right? And then I also showed her a variety of book covers that I thought aesthetically looked good. So then she took those two bits of information and she designed this book cover. And I agree with you. This was the book cover of my dreams. When I say dreams, I literally mean like this is the way I would have imagined the perfect book cover. And the reason is if you look at that sort of the eye at the center of the book cover, you can see it's the eye of a brown woman, right? And then all of those other colors around her. And that's exactly what I wanted to convey. And I feel like to me, there's no way, I couldn't imagine a different cover for this book. So she took my exact message and she drew it. And that's what's so perfect.
That's perfect. What didn't you include in the book?
Yeah. You know what? At one point I actually made the joke, like, the better question is who doesn't wear eyeliner and why don't they wear it? You know, that could have been a whole book, you know, because it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's in so many different countries, cities, communities, rural communities all around the world. I did research on so many different countries, and I had to consider also regionally. I wanted to be very representative of the different regions. I think what I would have done if I had more time, more space, I would have loved to go to Nepal. There is a communal tradition there, religious tradition, spiritual tradition called the Living Goddesses. And I would have explored that. They wear very heavy eyeliner. I would have probably gone to Nigeria and written about Tiro in Nigeria. I would have probably actually gone to Mexico. Beyond just writing about Mexican Americans, I would have probably traveled to Mexico to actually do that research. If there had not been protests in Iran, my plan was to travel to Iran. Unfortunately, the protests broke out the week that I was supposed to travel there. Mm. So I think those are the ones that stand out to me. I would probably have gone to Palestine too. I think the tradition of kol in Palestine is really important as well in terms of, you know, preserving heritage and cultural practices. So those are the ones that stand out to me.
Excellent. The last time we talked about Our Women on the Ground, you told me that you are working on eyeliner. And then now that we are in this program again, and I'm asking the same question, what is your next, or are you working on any project?
Yeah, I haven't actually baked an idea yet. I'm still considering it. I think I'm going to go back a little bit more to explore my, you know, something to do with my own country, Lebanon, something to do perhaps with my family history. So maybe a little bit of memoir. I'm still kind of deciding on how to do that or what that may look like. I think for now, I would like to take a long break just because this book was like 3 years of research and travel. But I definitely do plan on doing a third book. So thank you.
Excellent.
For that question.
Yeah. Yes. And the last question, maybe reminding you, and I hope that I'm not putting you on a spot, but you are a journalist and you can answer the question. Usually at the end of every program, we ask our guests to share something meaningful about peace, about kindness, compassion, especially right now that there is a war going on in Gaza and in the Middle East. So I'm wondering, what would be your anecdote or your story, or what do you think about peace, or how does peace look like to you?
This is a really good question, especially in this moment of time, what's happening in Palestine. I struggled a lot with talking about this book and having it published while the war was unfolding. And I spoke to my mother about it, and my mother's always right, but she said to me at one point to be kind and compassionate to myself and to recognize that amidst all of the stories of suffering and pain, it's also important to document stories of celebration when it comes to our own culture and preserving our cultural heritage. So that helped me reframe the guilt that I was feeling when I was talking about something like eyeliner, when the world felt like it was on fire. It was this idea of, you know, we also still need to be uplifting these stories that celebrate our contributions to culture. So that is a thought that I have.
Very good. Very well put. Thank you so much. You are watching and listening to Peace Mindedly. I just talked with Zahra Hankir, author of Eyeliner, A Cultural History, with Zahra. Thank you so much, Zahra, and hope to see you. Looking forward to see what's your next project.
Thank you, and hopefully we'll chat again.
Yes, for sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.